breakfast, break fast, which means your first meal of the day is breakfast no matter what time you eat it. Second thing, the fasting I recommend is dinner to breakfast, including the time that you sleep. And the best way to do this is really to eliminate the late night snacking or make your dinner a bit earlier, and then to still eat within an hour and 90 minutes of waking up.
Welcome to Salad with a Side of Fries. I'm your host, Jen Trepik, talking wellness and weight loss for real life. We're here to clear up the myths, misinformation, bad science, and marketing to teach you how to eat and how to cheat. Are you ready? I'm having salad with a side of fries.
Hey there. Welcome back to another episode of Salad with a Side of Fries. I'm your host, Jen Trepik. I'm here today with Ronnie. Ronnie, welcome back.
Thank you.
So if you remember, maybe you don't. So Ronnie and I first met working out, and that now feels like it was ages ago. But I want to say thank you for being here. I love that when I asked you if you wanted to do this again, you were a quick yes, followed by an even faster question of what are we talking about?
Sounds about correct. Right.
If, depending on the topic, would you have then said no?
No.
Okay, good to know. I was just saying, I'm really glad that it's like almost 3 years in and my friends don't hate me that I asked them to join me on this.
No, I think we're flattered. Or at least I can only speak for one friend.
Right. Well, thanks. So today, right? So you asked what we were talking about. I said we're talking about breakfast. And really, though, is it the most important meal of the day? Like, we've been told this so many times. And I always get tons of questions for, like, what do I do for breakfast? Or is it really that important? And I decided it needed more than a nutrition nugget amount of conversation.
Yes. Well, we're always told it's the most important meal of the day, but I personally have trouble with breakfast. So
yeah,
understanding, I think, why it's the most important meal of the day, if in fact it is.
There you go.
Could go a long way to helping me figure out what I can now eat for breakfast.
All right. Well, I'm curious also why breakfast is a challenge for you, but we're going to get to that in a second because we're going to get deep into it. And then I'm going to be like, oh, wait, we never told the members what they're getting. So members, here's the story. Your recipe is for avocado fruit salad with tangerine vinaigrette. It is a delightful change up on a fruit salad. And even if you're generally not one for a fruit salad, like fruit mixed together, I think you'll actually like this one. And given today's topic, it's an awesome breakfast if you just add a bit of protein to it. So I'm also sending you, so you get the recipe. Then I'm also sending you an article from our friends at Levels Health that is 110 foods unlikely to spike your blood sugar. You'll see why that's so important as we keep going with today's conversation. And then finally, since it's June, the third month of the quarter, it's time for your quarterly live Q&A, which we're doing as a one-on-one. So in your email on Friday, you'll get the recipe, the link to the article, and you'll have the info to choose whatever day and time is most convenient for you for us to chat, because I love chatting with you. Nothing makes me happier. So are you a member? Become a member. It's fun. Join the membership by going to glow.fm/saladwithasideoffries. It's only $10 a month. You get weekly recipes, a monthly article or tool, extra discounts from me and our partners, plus access to live Q&A sessions. All of this delivered to your inbox on Fridays at $10 a month. It pays for itself. I mean, this month, when you do your quarterly live Q&A, it's like the value of more than the year. So all I can say is you save far more than that cost. And show yourself that your health is a priority with this membership. Plus, by being a member, you're supporting this podcast and this community so we can continue bringing you new episodes and experts every single week. All right, one more time. glow.fm/saladwithasideoffries, or just click the link in the show notes. It's there for you too. Once you're there, you click support now, enter your email and payment method, click subscribe, and you're all set. You'll get this week's recipe for the avocado fruit salad with tangerine vinaigrette, the article from Levels Health of 110 foods unlikely to spike your blood sugar, and your quarterly live session.
Sounds like a deal.
Right? I thought so. I saw this recipe and I was like, I love this one. And I'm not really a fruit salad person, but I do like this. So, all right, Ronnie, You said you're not really a breakfast person.
Well, I find that breakfast is difficult for me because most of the breakfast that I've encountered usually have a lot of protein. I think you were saying that before, is that you like the, you know, the fruit salad with some protein. And sometimes, or I'll say almost all the time, I find protein difficult to digest first thing in the morning or when I have that first meal. So that's what throws me off, is that having protein for breakfast hurts my stomach. I thought I was going to have a nicer way of saying it, but it gives me a stomach ache.
I respect it. I think, you know, euphemisms would only, you know, detract from.
No.
You know,
yeah.
Remind me, we're going to come back to that because I am going to talk about protein, but remind me and we'll come back to that. But I think it's funny because what I was expecting you to say was either like, I'm never hungry in the morning. Like, I feel like people live in extreme camps of I'm never hungry in the morning or I'm ravenous in the morning. Or some people are just like, it takes time I don't have, breakfast isn't for me.
Right.
So if you are never hungry in the morning, it could be really a function of eating too much the night before or eating too late the night before, or almost like a learned adaptation where we wake up, we're instantly stressed and distracted, and we've been told to eat less and move more. And now with intermittent fasting, we're told to not eat breakfast and all the things. And so we sort of train ourselves out of recognizing what we're actually experiencing in the morning.
Interesting. Yes.
If you feel like you're ravenous in the morning, it could be an indication of poor sleep quality.
Oh.
Like poor sleep. We've talked about leptin and ghrelin before, those hormones. So ghrelin is the hormone that tells us when we're hungry. So if we don't sleep well, ghrelin is higher. So especially waking up ravenous, it could be a function of not eating sufficiently the day before or even a couple days before. But ravenous all the time versus hungry, right? I think there's a difference between like hungry and ravenous. It is appropriate upon waking or shortly after waking, right? Once we start moving, that we are hungry. During sleep, like we use up the glycogen in our liver to keep our blood sugar balanced while we sleep. So when we wake up, our body's like, oh, we need to replenish that, which means I need food.
Right. So how much is like a normal amount of time to like, or it's everybody's different.
And then, everybody's different. You know, as a general rule of thumb, I recommend something in your system within like an hour to 90 minutes of waking up.
Other than water.
Yes, other than water. But what that looks like, we can get into some details and nuances really quick because I was like, well, who first said this, right? Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Like, where did this even come from? So what's interesting to me is that I think this was the beginning of food culture and food lobbyists. So you'll see some research where it attributes it to the Kellogg's company, but here's what really happened. So 1917, there was this woman who's a protege of John Harvey Kellogg, like Kellogg of Kellogg cereal. So she was a dietitian. Her name was Lena Frances Cooper. She was a big proponent of like vegetarian diets and things like that. She wrote an article in 1917 where she wrote, "Less attention is usually paid to breakfast, yet in many ways, it's the most important meal of the day because it's the meal that gets the day started." Kellogg, of course, then jumped onto that and was like, "We got to sell some cereal. We could use this." Right? And snowball from there was bacon for breakfast. Juice, like, you know, citrus juice and all of those things were really a function of marketing. Maybe an episode for another day. It's been on my list for a really long time. And every time I go to research it, I'm like, it just feels daunting and I have to stop. So needless to say, like it's part marketing, but it was really started by this dietitian. And so what ended up happening then is like, even with the bacon thing or the citrus juice, like they would sort of get these doctors to agree that that food would qualify for what they were talking about. And then the food companies were like, you heard it from the doctor. This is what you're supposed to eat. And you're like, wait, what? Not really, but okay. Right. So, you know, it's hard.
There's so many things I could say right about now about lobbying, but I'm just going to not and just go back to breakfast.
Breakfast.
Let's go back to breakfast. No, but it's interesting because I do like Special K, so I don't want to knock Kellogg's, but that's the other thing. After certain breakfasts, you get hungry immediately again, but I know why, and I'm throwing you off track. So let's go back to...
No, you're not throwing me off track, but we are going to get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, right? Like, I think there are pieces of this claim that do have merit, but I also think it's sort of like everything else, snowballed into something that's not necessarily what we really need.
Right. Right. And throughout time, the facts have been cherry picked to fit the statement rather than the science and the data leading to the statement coming from data.
Exactly.
Right.
You guys, that's because she's a lawyer. Right. Okay. So, and like you said before, understanding why I think is a really big difference maker in terms of doing things, you know, or deciding to do something. So, number one, I want to say maybe I have five things here, give or take. So, first reason for breakfast is that it sets the tone, right? Sort of like what she was saying, but it sets the tone chemically and biologically, like for the rest of the day. It can either set us up for success, as they say, or set us on a roller coaster. And that's exactly that blood sugar thing that you were just talking about, because I feel like most people, right? Most people's breakfast is a bowl of cereal, a bagel, oatmeal. Those foods all spike our blood sugar, which means we're satisfied for a little bit and then we crash. And now we're starving again. And that snowballs into another craving for something that's going to spike our blood sugar. And so we end up on this blood sugar roller coaster of like up and down all day. So what this means is that not just having a meal is critical, but that what we have is critical.
Right. And two bowls of cereal
isn't
going to
cool.
do it. Got
no.
it.
And even I've done a nutrition nugget on oatmeal, right? Everybody who loves their heart healthy oatmeal, scratch it, nix it. I need a different sound effect. I don't know what the sound effect is for, like, you know,
I'm not
mixing
good at
something.
Sound effects. My
Me
brother's
either,
good.
Clearly. Oh,
yeah.
Well, next time we should have him join us too.
Right, just for the sound effects.
Right. So, right, it's not just that breakfast is important. It's what we eat that is important. So the first meal of the day requires balance of protein, fiber, quality fat. And studies show that a person actually eats less overall throughout the day when starting the day with proper nutrition, protein, fiber, quality fat.
Interesting.
And it's very chemical. I mean, we're not fighting those blood sugar spikes and crashes. I also think the other thing that can happen, like in the case of eating breakfast too fast, not eating enough, those also contribute to the roller coaster thing, because it's a roller coaster of blood sugar, but also we have a hard time monitoring our own food intake when we eat super quickly or if we tend to graze.
Yes, definitely. Grazing for sure.
Right. Like, it's sometimes we could beat ourselves up because we feel like we're eating constantly and we're like, what's wrong with me? All I've done today is eat. And then on the other hand, sometimes it's like, I feel like I haven't eaten because I've only picked at these things. And then eating too fast can also often lead to eating too much. And then we feel stuffed and could maybe beat ourselves up, you know? And so if what we're eating is protein, fiber, quality fat, it sets us up to feel satisfied and energized throughout the whole day.
No, that's helpful. And it makes sense. And full disclosure, I feel like my mom's been telling me this for years.
You know, your mom's a smart cookie.
Yeah, I know.
I had a feeling when we were going to talk about this that you're going to be like, my mom tells me that. Anyway, but you know, when we hear it from our mom, we don't want to listen to it. So, you know, at least I'm not your mom.
No.
Right.
No, but I mean, it makes sense. And I mean, eating any meal too quickly,
right,
or, you know, or grazing or too slowly, it's all about balance, right? Which is what you say every week, if not right. more. Yes.
Right. All right. So let's go to number two. It's about energy, right? Energy, you know, the first meal of the day, it's our mood and our energy follow our blood sugar. So that breakfast, that first meal of the day, can often be what actually leads to the afternoon coffee cookie pick-me-up craving, because we're on this spike and crash of the blood sugar roller coaster.
I thought it was my clients. Just
well,
kidding.
That's true. Right. But it's constant struggle or monitoring or managing our energy throughout the day. If we started out on the roller coaster, like there's really no stepping off till you start a new day. Chemically, even if you can mentally, I mean, chemically, your body's in this place. So all of that sort of leads us to my reason number three, which is what experts call the second meal effect. So this basically means that what we eat at our last meal impacts what we choose at the current meal or the next meal, whatever it is. So if we spike our blood sugar with our last meal, we're more likely to choose the high glycemic impact foods at the next meal, both because chemically we're craving those things, but also because of our mood. And then because we can sometimes get the fuck it's, right? Which is sort of like, well, I screwed that up. What does this matter?
Exactly. You know? Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that whole snowball. And so the second meal effect actually can work in both directions. If we choose nutrition at one meal, it makes it more likely we'll do the same at the next. And this goes back to what we talked about with the willpower episode, because we actually need blood sugar and quality nutrition to have willpower. And so if we set ourselves up to have those things, then we have bandwidth to be able to make quality choices later on in the day. And then there's also the thing of like, when we feel good, we often want to continue feeling good. And so we can choose foods that help us do that.
And just to, you know, ask the obvious question, that the two meal thing spans two meals regardless, consecutive meals, regardless of its night. So it's like dinner
Correct.
One night will affect breakfast the night, the next morning.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at more of the research to see if it goes day to day. Like, yes, it does in general. Like, what happens the night before can impact the next morning.
But not as pronounced as throughout the day.
Because there's so many other things that happen at night that give an opportunity for a slightly different shift. I don't know if it's quite the same. It's a good
question.
Dawn
brings the new day.
Right?
Could be meals what, too.
Right. Now I hear that song in my head. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. Can't sing. Okay.
And I'm feeling good.
There you go. All right. We're on number four. So we have the second meal phenomenon. So this actually extends to habits. So part of why people, it's a different theory, right? Now it's more of what we would call like habit stacking versus the meal phenomenon. But starting with breakfast snowballs into more than just our meals. It sets a tone for all the habits throughout the day. So I talked about habit stacking before, and habit stacking sort of comes into play in two ways. So one is that often one habit leads to others. So maybe you start working out and that leads to more water and maybe an earlier bedtime and maybe a better meal nutritiously, you know, nutritionally speaking, right? Where one thing snowballs into other things. Habit stacking also comes into play when we want to add something new. We attach it, we stack it on top of something that already exists. So I always talk about adding a breathing exercise before you eat, because hopefully eating is the habit that already happens anyway. And so if we attach the breathing to the eating, like what better time to turn on rest and digest than before we eat? But it's also more likely to happen than if we're all of a sudden going, you know, you should really add a breathing exercise during the day, you know?
Right. When am I going to do that?
Right. So if we start the day with quality nutrition, it almost plays out as the snowball of other positive, healthful habits because of the idea of habit stacking. And also, I think, because of what happens when we actually have blood sugar and therefore replenish our willpower throughout the day.
Right. And then can make smart decisions. And yes.
Exactly. So the other side, though, just like the second meal effect can work in either direction, habit stacking can also work in either direction. Right. So sometimes, remember, you know, we'll say, oh, well, if I don't go, then I'm never going to go again because it snowballs the other direction. Like,
right.
That's a real thing.
No, I don't know what made me think of this, but when I was however old I was, when I watched the original Beverly Hills 90210, my brother and I.
Wait, I'm sorry. I just have to pause because whatever this story is just making my day. Okay, go ahead.
I feel like we should press pause. You can edit this out, right?
No, we're totally leaving this in. Go.
But he and I, it was actually very nice because we would watch the show together every week and we would have ice cream. So we would each get a bowl of ice cream and watch the show together. And that was our thing. But little did I know, like, I don't know, at the end of the season and a couple of pounds later, I don't know. So it was, although I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but I am very thankful that we did get to watch those shows together, 15 pounds or not. Right.
I mean, I loved those shows, even yes. To this day.
Oh, the only thing that upsets me is that they didn't copyright the music. So a lot of those classic scenes that you associate with certain songs and you see them on reruns, it's because they didn't think to, right. You know, register the music for that scene. And so they had to rejigger it. So
again, you're the lawyer. But also, by
the way. Thanks for saying that. Oh, some people might say that I'm just crazy. But no. Anyway.
No, but also.
Crazy about
it was
breakfast.
One of the. Right. It was one of the first shows that used real music, like
yes.
Pop music or whatever, like
yes.
Bands and musicians and artists.
Yes.
Anyway, different episode about 90210 and our obsession. So yes. Back to breakfast. I want to shift into like how to make it happen after a quick break for a message from our partner for this episode, Snap Cleaning Products. Make household and industrial cleaning a snap with their eco-friendly, economical, multi-purpose Snap products. Snap's concentrated multi-purpose formulas perform light to industrial strength jobs all in one bottle. Snap products give you the cleaning power of a variety of cleaners, saving you time, money, and valuable storage space. And Snap products were developed with the environment in mind, using plant-based ingredients that are biodegradable, phosphate-free, non-toxic, and bottled in recyclable containers. So breakfast is our topic today. I think the last thing people want to do in the morning are dishes, right? So I got you. The Snap dishwashing liquid, a drop in the sink with a bunch of water or even in the pan. Let it sit for a couple minutes while you get ready, while you eat, whatever it is. You come back to it and it just wipes clean. Or if it really is like, you know, in need of some attention. Just let it soak all day. Come back to it at the end of the day. It'll be fine. Really. I love it. You don't need like harsh bristles or crazy, you know, another arm workout to clean the cookware. You can even use it on, you know, fine china. Best part is, like I said, you use a drop or two at a time. And the bottle is 32 ounces for a whopping $12.50. So it's going to last a while. I know. And you get 10% off plus free shipping for being a Salad with the Side of Fries listener. There's also dishwashing crystals too, if you know, for the dishwasher, but I still am that person who cleans the food and the things before it goes in the dishwasher. Anyway.
I am too.
That's why we get along.
I was gonna say.
All right. So everybody, text the word clean, C-L-E-A-N, to 844-947-4846. You'll receive the link and coupon code right to your phone. Again, simply text the word clean, C-L-E-A-N, to 844-947-4846 to try Snap. I highly recommend the dishwashing liquid. Remember, this is a toll-free number. Standard text and data rates may apply. Okay. All right. So how do we make it happen in the morning? Right? So like I said, I generally think we want something of fuel within the body, within like an hour to 90 minutes of waking up. This signals to our body that it is daytime, that it signals to the body for the metabolism to turn on, and it turns our metabolism on to burn versus turning our body on to store fat. If we wake up and go and don't eat for a long period of time, it puts our body into fat storage mode because that signals to the body. Think about, right, caveman days. If they were supposed to work without fuel, that meant a time of famine, which meant the next time I get food, I'm going to store it as fat so that I can survive.
Makes sense.
So a lot of people don't love something big in the morning, right? I hear it all the time. I just don't feel like eating. Again, I think we touched on that before. I think part of that sort of this learned behavior. What if also you started the day with a proper nutritious snack and then had breakfast like 2 hours later? Breakfast in air quotes, right? So essentially, we're getting something with quality nutrition to balance our blood sugar and get things going within an hour to 90 minutes.
Yeah, like a full breakfast coming right at you.
Right. So that also plays in for people who work out first thing in the morning. So there are some studies about working out what they would call fasted or on an empty stomach. And this is very individual. Like some of the research says, if what you're looking to do is remove fat, that can be a good thing. But like I said, this is really individual. How do you feel, right? If you feel like you don't get your best workout on an empty stomach, then eat something, right?
No, it's funny when I don't know what you do, but like when I work out in the mornings, I can't eat first. But if I work out later on in the day, then I can eat first. But working out first thing in the morning, I can't eat anything. You eat though, right? You would eat before you came to class.
I'll do a little bit.
Yeah.
Only a little bit, maybe like half of a bar, or at least my vitamins I'll take before. But I can't do like a whole big meal. It's like we would go down to do push-ups and I would feel like it's all going to come up.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Okay. So are you saying like a snack before the workout?
If you feel like you don't get your best workout on an empty stomach or you get lightheaded during your workout, mm-hmm. then yes, eat a light snack. That could be, like I said, a protein bar or part of a bar. It could be maybe a piece of fruit and some nuts, you know. And by the way, if you're in the camp of I need to wait to eat a bigger meal, then your first thing within an hour, 90 minutes might be a handful of nuts, giving yourself that quality fat that keeps you satisfied, that's going to stabilize our blood sugar and our cravings. And then, you know, when you get to work an hour later, then you're having your actual breakfast or whatever it is.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Some other pro tips for breakfast here. You mentioned this in the beginning of the protein. So it is said, especially if what we're focused on is weight management, protein for breakfast, you know, it's for energy. Protein uses more energy to burn, meaning it takes a third more energy to burn protein than to burn carbs or fat. It's like, I think of it sort of like turning up the baseline of our metabolism to live, right? If what we eat is more protein that requires more, theoretically, more calories, right, to burn that protein, it up-levels the baseline of the calories needed to live our life. And the other thing is quality fat. This is another huge one. So people, first of all, like fat has gotten such a bad reputation over the years. Fat in your breakfast keeps you full, reduces cravings, fuels your brain. So avocado, nuts, all of those can be great options. P.S. A serving of avocado is a half an avocado. Yeah.
I'm having trouble with this, but we should move on. This might take me a while.
Say it.
No.
We've all been told, like, oh, fat's bad, right? And avocado is the good fat, but we should still be careful. And so everybody's like, well, I had an eighth of a quarter of a slice.
Right.
Right. You know?
I had two M&Ms. I feel like Ralphing.
Right. What movie is that from?
Clueless.
I was going to say Clueless, and then I second-guessed myself.
Don't second-guess yourself, ever.
I know. Okay. Anyway.
Pot, kettle. Trust me, I know. All right, right. Sorry. Okay, back to
breakfast.
Right.
Avocado.
And a serving of avocado is half an avocado.
You're nuts, by the way. A serving is like a small handful, a couple tablespoons. Not like seven almonds.
Right. Slivered.
Right, yeah. Totally. Like the avocado.
Right. So what you're saying is, we actually can have more than we actually can, which is one of the things you said earlier, is that we're not eating enough for breakfast.
Right.
Okay.
But I also get breakfast is not the one that we often have a ton of time for. You guys know, if you listen often, I have mixed feelings on smoothies. But I think sometimes, if built well, a smoothie can be a killer breakfast. So we want to make sure it's balanced with enough protein, fiber, and quality fat, right? So how do we do that? First of all, back to the avocado. You can also freeze your avocado. So when it's perfectly ripe, slice it and freeze it, and then it's ready for your smoothies.
Did not know that one.
I think I just blew your mind a little.
I'd say a lot.
Okay. Green banana. So green banana, so when your banana has a little bit of green on it.
Yes.
I'm not saying a plantain, but when your banana has a little bit of green on it.
Right, because it's not quite ready. It's not quite ripe yet.
It has less sugar and more of what we call resistant starches, which gives us that quality fiber and prebiotics that we're looking for. A half a cup of berries, frozen berries, whatever kind you like. Extra fiber with chia seeds or flax or greens, and a quality protein. You could do some sort of a protein powder, whatever kind makes you happy. Remember, when you're reading that label on the protein powder, 7 grams is like 1 ounce of a cooked protein, so that we can sort of measure how much we're getting in there. If you use the frozen banana, berries, and avocado, you don't necessarily need to add more ice to it. You can just add like a plant milk or some coconut water or just plain water and blend it up. And you don't need a fancy blender. As long as you have a blender strong enough to crush ice, you're fine. I'm going to other breakfast things. I'm not the biggest dairy person, but Greek yogurt, and again, going back to the fat thing, do the 2%. Right? Keep you satisfied. Berries, nuts, maybe add to that like an egg or two or something. You could also do a non-dairy yogurt that's, you know, nut-based, but read the nutrition facts on all of those, right? Know what you're getting as far as added ingredients and also really how much protein is in there. Some of those nut-based yogurts are much more fat than protein, which is fine. We just need to know so that we can round out the rest of the meal, right? I'm a big fan of eggs in the morning. Well, I'm a big fan of breakfast foods for all times of the day. But right, but like a big veggie omelet, killer breakfast, keep you satisfied. You know, I also love a breakfast salad. So whatever greens you have, chop up whatever veggies you have. I'll use a little bit of nutritional yeast.
Really?
Because you like that cheesy flavor and some added protein. It's only cheesy flavor. It's not actually cheese.
I know, but part of not liking cheese is not liking the cheesy flavor.
Maybe. Yeah, I describe it that way. It was like sacrilegious to the world. Yeah. Some people describe it more nutty versus cheesy.
Oh.
But anyway, nutritional yeast gives you a ton of protein. I want to say it's like 1 or 2 tablespoons is the equivalent of like an ounce of protein. And then sometimes I'll use a little bit of balsamic vinegar, but then I'll make the eggs so that the yolk is runny And the runny yolk creates like a creamy salad dressing. Here's the thing with eggs that also is sort of my thing of like nobody's eating enough. We always hear like, oh, have 2 eggs. 2 eggs is 2 ounces of protein.
Yeah, but it's the cholesterol.
Okay, so I'm going to direct everybody. Go back to the episode about...
Well, I knew saying that. It's still a knee-jerk reaction for me. I know your episode.
Right.
Enlightening, but it's still a knee-jerk reaction.
Right. No, but you're right. So this is what everybody thinks of. So 2 things on that. One is the fat is in the yolk, not in the white. Also, if you feel like, oh my God, that feels really heavy and like too much food, do extra egg whites and maybe only like 1 or 2 whole eggs. I was going to say it was the February heart health episode we did. I think it was 2021, the heart health episode. I talked a lot about eggs. I've also done, I think, a nutrition nugget on eggs, I think. And so really, like, eggs are not giving you high cholesterol. If anything, it is your oatmeal that is turning into sugar. So here's the deal. Sugar is what is impacting your cholesterol in your system way more than fat. Also, sidebar, the one study that gave fat the bad reputation, it was one study that has never been replicated and could never be replicated, and it just got a ton of...
Right. I know.
Publicity.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry, because if you say it, everybody's thinking it, which is why I appreciate you being here. You can do also like egg muffins, because people are like, oh, I don't have time in the morning, right? So
I was going to ask you about oats, but you're not up to them yet, because I know you just trashed oatmeal, but
yeah.
I know about those like overnight soaking oats.
Overnight oats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but sorry, you were doing egg muffins.
Okay, so egg muffins, you basically make the equivalent of an omelet, but pour it into a muffin tin or a cupcake tin and bake it and then put them in the fridge. Grab a couple in the morning and heat them up. Your jaw is on the floor. I need more information.
You don't cook it?
Well, you do. I mean, you bake them.
Oh, okay. I missed the baking part. I'm like, why are we putting raw eggs in a baking tin in the fridge?
No. Bake them.
Okay. Maybe that might have been a jaw problem.
Fast. No, right. I said it too fast. So bake them and then stick them in the refrigerator. And then a couple of them are free breakfast. And those are an easy one to change up. Because you could just change what you put in them, maybe add some herbs, like do some basil in them. If you did a couple of those and then the fruit salad that the members are getting this week.
Ooh. Right?
Brilliant breakfast.
Chef's kiss.
Right. Yeah. Mwah. Right. I wonder if that's going to translate audibly. We'll see. You can even do, you know, if you need something that's sort of a little bit faster, or maybe even a little lighter, do a banana with some nut butter and maybe sprinkle some chia seeds on it. Chia pudding, depending on what it's made with. Super satisfying. I'm a big fan of adding cinnamon. So like just changes the flavor to things.
Yeah.
You know, even if I do like the TLS nutrition shakes that I work with are a great combination of protein and fiber. So that by itself is a great snack. If I'm going to make that breakfast, I sort of bulk it up with eating a piece of fruit with it. So maybe I'll have like a banana or an apple with some nut butter or maybe some mango or whatever, you know, I feel like in the moment. But in certain times of the year, like the vanilla shake, I'll add cinnamon to it or I'll add a no sugar pumpkin pie spice to it so that it just changes it up a little bit. You'll probably find like grain-free granolas in your grocery store. So in most of these, they tend to use nuts instead of grains. So you could sprinkle that on top of your smoothie, turn your smoothie into like a smoothie bowl and eat it with a spoon. You could put that on top of your yogurt. I think weekends, like a breakfast taco could be super fun. You know, I think the whole thing is like have a handful of things that you can rotate so that you're not reinventing the wheel all the time, but you also don't get bored, you know? And then another thing that I like to remind everybody is eat your leftovers for breakfast. The only thing that makes it breakfast is that it's the first meal of the day. It's breaking the fast, right? The fact that we call all these foods like breakfast foods, like who cares? you know, if dinner was delicious or lunch yesterday was great, eat the leftovers. Eat the second half for breakfast.
I usually try to hold out to lunch, but maybe I'll try it for breakfast.
I think most of the time when people try it, they are shocked how satisfying it is and how full they are for how long. Like, they have great energy and they feel really good and they're not hungry again for what feels like a while. And it's amazing. But typically, the average American, right, our lunches or our dinners tend to be better balanced to some degree than breakfast. So your question of overnight oats, it depends who makes them, right? So now I sound like a broken record. You have to read the label and see what it says. Count how many grams of protein is it, right? So 7 grams is 1 ounce. A serving size of protein for a woman at a meal is 4 to 6 ounces. And a man is 6 to 8 ounces. If that says it has 9 grams of protein, it's give or take about 1 ounce. That's like half a snack size amount of protein. And then we look at the carbs, calculate your net carbs, how much fiber is actually in there. Could you have a little bit of the overnight oats with some Greek yogurt, with some fruit, like maybe some berries and some nuts and other things to like bulk it up? And then you sort of balance it out? 1,000%. It's really about thinking like not all of our protein has to come from one source. Not all of our fiber has to come from one source, all of those kinds of things. So it's about building the meal to give you the nutrition of the protein, the quality fat, and the fiber.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple more notes here. Travel, because I was traveling. You know, don't be that person eating a hard-boiled egg on the airplane, but hard-boiled eggs travel well in an airtight container.
I was going to say, what's wrong with eating a hard-boiled egg?
Well, I feel like it's going to smell on the airplane.
That's true.
But maybe, I mean, or who cares?
Not as much
Eat your hard-boiled egg. This is true.
Yeah.
And frankly, not as much as McDonald's.
No.
I would say
and
avoid.
And the McDonald's smell is just mean.
Right. I would say avoid airplane food. Like, see what you can find in the airport. By the way, avocado in a Ziploc can travel and go through security. And that it's going to give you that quality fat that's going to keep you satisfied. You know, I'm a big fan of bringing like a Ziploc of nuts and an apple because an apple travels easily. I'm trying to think what else. I also have some of these other snack things, but those aren't really breakfast food. So, and not, beyond not breakfast food, like they make these like Parmesan crisps that have extra protein and whatever, but that is the opposite of a flavor I'm looking for in the morning.
Yes.
So a couple notes. This applies to kids. This applies to all humans.
Okay.
Starting the morning with protein and quality fat is going to set everybody up for energy and brain power throughout the day and especially throughout the morning. And then I think I'd be remiss if I didn't talk quickly about intermittent fasting. Because with intermittent fasting, people are tending to skip breakfast. And then they skip breakfast and call it, oh, I'm fasting. So everything we talked about today applies to your first meal, no matter what time it is. Breakfast, break, fast, which means your first meal of the day is breakfast, no matter what time you eat it. Second thing, the fasting I recommend is dinner to breakfast, including the time that you sleep. And the best way to do this is really to eliminate the late night snacking or make your dinner a bit earlier, and then to still eat within an hour and 90 minutes of waking up.
I'm sure you covered this on another episode, but how long should you stop eating before you go to bed? Like an hour, 2 hours?
General rule of thumb is 2 hours.
Okay.
And again, I say general rule of thumb, like if you work at night, right? Like there's extenuating circumstances all the time.
Yes. And then there's the, you're just sitting there thinking, ooh, I should have a cookie. But then if I know I'm going to bed in less than 2 hours, there you
right.
go.
And then that brings up the question of like, well, why do I want the cookie? Is it habit? Am I actually hungry? Would I eat broccoli? Right? If the cookie is the only thing that sounds good, then I'm probably not really hungry. So is this because I'm bored? Is this because I'm tired? Is this, right? Like, what am I looking for And where can I get that outside of the cookie? Topic for another day. Have some episodes on that one. All right. Wrapping up the breakfast thing, which I guess brings us back to the question of, is breakfast the most important meal of the day? Ronnie, what do you think?
I am going to say yes.
I still struggle with the question. And this actually is something you said before we started recording. And that is, thinking about breakfast as the most important meal of the day feels like pressure. And so, I mean, real life, we're going to wake up late. We're going to skip it sometimes. Like, you're going to be fine. But I do think that an emphasis on first food is really important.
Right. So it's not really that breakfast, but your first meal of the day is the most important meal of that day.
Right. I think your first food is really important. I'd like first food to be within an hour and 90 minutes of waking up. But what you eat is almost more important than the fact that you ate.
Yes. Especially when you're doing more harm than good.
Right. Because we don't want to set ourselves up for that crazy roller coaster. Okay, cool. I think we did it on breakfast. Yes?
Yes. Thank you. I'm actually hungry.
Well, it is an appropriate time to be hungry.
Yes.
All right, really quick, let's do our nutrition nugget. You ready?
Ready.
All right, this week we're talking about GMOs to BEs. So friends, we have a new name for GMOs, although it's not really new, but we are now referring to GMOs on packages as BEs. So GMO stands for genetically modified organism. BE stands for bioengineered.
Oh. And
this isn't new, right? Like, this reminds me of the high fructose corn syrup thing, when high fructose corn syrup got such a bad reputation and everybody knew to avoid it and look out for it. Food packaging changed, like all the food manufacturers changed the packages to say corn sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup. So we're now seeing that again, different food. So quick little thing on GMOs. So because GMOs and BEs... It's sort of like a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square, right? So GMO is a genetically modified organism. So it's a plant, animal, or microorganism or other organism whose genetic makeup has been modified in a laboratory using genetic engineering or transgenic technology. The technical answer for bioengineered is that the food contains genetic material that has been modified through certain laboratory techniques and for which the modification could not be obtained through conventional breeding or found in nature. It's a lot of words strung together, but the bottom line of all of it is that...
Not all GMOs are BEs.
Correct.
But all BEs are types of GMOs.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
we have a lot of acronyms where I work. So it's kind of like.
You're used to this.
Yeah.
It's like alphabet soup.
So interesting what you're saying now. So the labels are going to be misleading because the numbers are going to look lower when in fact.
Well, or, it might not even be detectable, right? So a lot of times they say no detectable GMOs. Well, a lot of times when things are bioengineered and then used into formulas for other things, it can't be detected. There's nothing actually resembling the original genetic material of the food that they could test for.
Oh.
So it gets really complicated. So there are some genetically modified or bioengineered foods are done so that maybe it grows, the plant grows in a different climate, or it needs less water, or the bugs won't eat it. And then there's other GMOs or bioengineered foods that are sort of making a new food altogether, like a grapple. Like they took a grape and an apple, and it is this thing that's a small apple, looks like an apple, just really small, but kind of tastes a little grapey. Not really a fan, but that's a whatever. So for today's conversation of GMO to BE, the reason why this is coming up. So first of all, this isn't new. There was a BE labeling law that was written and passed in 2016, but it became mandatory January 1 of 2022.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, it can get really confusing when we start to read food labels now because there are a lot of loopholes. It might be that they're giving you a link on the package. It might be that they're showing you a QR code and they're expecting the super conscientious consumer to do the homework to actually find out that there are bioengineered ingredients in the food.
Oh.
So a couple things. So the non-GMO project does amazing work in helping sort of explain this stuff. I took a couple things directly from them because I can't explain it any better. So a couple highlights. Most products of new GMO techniques, like the CRISPR, people have heard of CRISPR. So that's gene editing. So that won't require a BE disclosure because the law focuses on foods containing detectable modified genetic material in the final product. Products that contain GMOs made with these new techniques are currently untestable. Foods that are heavily processed contain little or no intact genetic material for accurate testing. So sort of like what I was saying before. They also fall outside of the BE disclosure requirements. This includes very common products like sugar and cooking oils, as well as packaged goods that contain such ingredients. The BE labeling law only applies to food intended for direct human consumption. GMO crops for livestock feed take up millions of acres of agricultural land and ultimately support the human food supply. But the BE labeling law does not look at it. Because of the sheer volume of GMO commodity crops grown for livestock feed, choosing verified meat, dairy, and eggs is the key to building a non-GMO future. So it just gets complicated also because if a food is made from a number of ingredients, the law is based on what the first ingredient is. So on their the non-GMO project gives the example of like a can of soup. So if the corn in the soup was GMO, it doesn't have to be listed as bioengineered or GMO because the first ingredient is likely not the corn. So if the first ingredient is meat or even a broth, they don't have to list the corn as bioengineered. So long story short, keep your eyes peeled for these new labels. Do the extra work as much as possible. Eat the foods that don't have labels. When you can and it's reasonable, go for the non-GMO, go for the organic. You know, again, just like with breakfast, we got to pick our battles. We're all just doing what we can do. But I think it's important that we know these words. So genetically modified organisms are now often going to be referred to as BEs or bioengineered foods. That was your public service announcement for today. Any questions? Anything to add, Ronnie?
No. I think I'm still on the avocado serving size.
Half an avocado.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I think I just changed your world. Well, thank you for being here. Right.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun and I learned a lot.
Awesome. Well, as always, everybody, I'm your host, Jen Trepik. Connect with me on Instagram, all social media. I'm at Jen Trepik, JenTrepeck. Website is asaladwithasideoffries.com. Please send a message either through the website or social media. I want to hear your key takeaways, your ideas, your questions. This is also the easiest way to learn more about working with me. If you are not already a member, join our membership by going to glow.fm/saladwithasideoffries to show your support for this podcast and this community, but above all, support your health. You'll get this week's recipe for the avocado fruit salad with tangerine vinaigrette, the article from Levels Health of 110 foods unlikely to spike your blood sugar, and your quarterly live session with me. So until next week, remember, whether or not you agree that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, your first food of the day certainly is. So start your day with nutrition. Go for protein, fiber, and quality fat.
Well, friends, that's it for today's episode of Salad with a Side of Fries. Congratulations for making yourself and your health a priority. Thanks so much for joining us. Be sure to click subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast platform. Share us with a friend, and we'll be back next week. Always remember, you deserve it, and you are worth it. Happy healthy.